John 14:15.
Lord God, we want to be on the cutting edge, like right here, what you're doing right now, what you have for us. So right now, we want to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. We want to lay down and break agreement with everything that we're, that would try to take us away, divide us, distract us from you. And we want to give you our full attention right now. We want to hear what you have to say, and we pray that today we would be good stewards of your word, that we would hear and receive by faith. Hear it as words from you and not from men. And that, Lord, we would never, our lives would never be the same, and we would honor you even more because of this day. Thank you, Jesus. We need you. Commit it into your hands and say thank you, Jesus. Amen. I'm just going to give you some verses, just thoughts right off the top of my head. Proverbs 30, verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Through the years, people will tell me they love God. And when they tell me, as I hear somebody say, I love God, the passage that comes to my mind is John 14:15-24, where Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Jesus has shown us in the beginning of John 14 how much he loves us. It is so clearly seen. Yes?
Yes.
And then he says in verse 15, do you love me? Our love is seen in the way we value his commandments. Our love is seen in the way we value his commandments. John 8:31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Continue, remain in his word. John 13:35. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Psalm 55:19. God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old, Selah, because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. When somebody's life does not change to conform to God, it's because they do not fear nor respect God. So often, God has me speak to my customers when they do something that is giving and caring and gracious. I called somebody to say, I'm sorry, I double booked you with somebody else, I need to move you back a week. And he said, that's okay. And I said, thank you so much for being gracious. I said, you are God-minded. I said, because you are gracious and understanding. And I said, so many get all upset because it's all about them. I said, but you are God, have a God consciousness, and I want to commend you for that. John 15, verses 13 to 15. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. John 21, 15 to 17. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because Jesus said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Our love is seen in the way we value his commandments. John chapter 12, verse 50. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. John 15, 14. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. 1 John 2, 3 through 6. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily, truly, is the love of God perfected or completed. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as Jesus walked. Psalm 111 and verse 10, we're going to talk about this and what it's teaching. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear or respect of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. Parentheses. Parenthetical thought. You know how you're reading a book and all of a sudden it has parentheses or something? That's what that means. Drawing your attention to something. Something God taught me to do a long, long, long time ago in my life was when you read the word and something sticks out to you or something seen, God is making something important, then we need to slow down and meditate on that to find out what is that teaching? What is that saying? What does that really mean? How does that apply in my life? A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. So the opposite would be true. people that do not do his commandments don't have a good understanding. Because their mind is corrupted by what's not true. A good understanding. We're going to understand, just like that song, "It Is Well With My Soul," that song we were just singing. I don't understand what all is going on. But I trust God. Job, I believe it's 13:15, he says, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." We don't have to understand. And there's a lot of things in our life right now we do not understand. Every time I try to focus on what I don't understand, I go into confusion. Anybody else ever had that happen to them? You know, that's recognized it? Because every one of us has done that. When we focus on what's not true, we go into confusion. Because confusion only comes when we consider any other thing than what God says. But a good understanding have all they that do his commandments. Let's just look at some verses about blessed are they that do his commandments. Remember, we're starting with John 15:14-15. If you love me, keep my commandments. You know what? I'm not supposed to go here. We're going to go over. We'll come back to this. Believe me. Okay. But right now we're going to go to Luke 9:23. I memorized this verse a long time ago, and whenever somebody would carry a cross pen, and I would see it in there, because I used to only use cross pens, okay, because they're a nice quality pen, they slide easily, the ink cartridges work real well, but when I finally got one, somebody must have given me one for a birthday or Christmas or something, when I finally got a cross pen, one day I was reading my Bible and I came across this verse. And so I call a cross pen a Luke 9:23 pen. So whenever I see somebody with one, I always say, "Oh, you've got a Luke 9:23 pen." And of course, they don't know what I'm talking about. They always go, "Huh?" And it's just an opportunity for me to witness. And I said, "Yes." And he said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." I said, "You've got a Luke 9:23 pen." Now think about this. And Jesus said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself." What does he mean? First of all, do we want to come after God? If you didn't, I can't imagine why you'd be here. Okay. Okay. Now, we say we want to come after God. Jesus, often, and we're going to look at some verses in a minute, where he talks about discipleship defined, or disciples, disciple requirements. Okay? So let's look at this one in light of that. If any man will come after me, do we want to come after Jesus? Do we love him? He said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." It's not about trying to do everything perfect and do everything according to the rules, keeping all the rules. It's a matter of, I want what pleases you. And you've given me these commandments. You've given me, whether it's the Ten Commandments, the 613 commandments in the Old Testament, that tells us how to live daily lives, whether it's talking about the New Testament, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And he says, "If my new commandment is to love one another as I have loved you." The point is to value what's important to God. To value what he says is the way of life. We say we love him. God is wanting to take us deeper because, let me give you a thought. Is God faithful?
Yes.
Is God good most of the time, but he has his times where he's got to vent his feelings and then he goes back to being good?
No.
Is God inconsistent? When we look at him, is his testimony true all the time?
Yes.
Then we need to be aware of that for our own lives. And not excuse ourselves and allow ourselves to do things that do not honor him. Words coming out of our mouth, thoughts, choices, whatever it is. When we do, we need to get it dealt with immediately if we're wanting to live in his presence. See, I'm going to go back to Hebrews chapter 13, verses 7 and 17. I am going to stand before God and I am going to give an account for your life. I'm going to give an account for teaching you about God, trying to help you to walk with God, ministering into your life, love, mercy, aid, whatever it is. But you are going to give an account for what you did with God. You are going to give an account for everything in your life. You're going to give an account for your words. I believe it's Matthew 12, 36 and 37. It says, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, declared innocent. And by thy words thou shalt be condemned, declared guilty. We're going to give an account. Words, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Words come from what's inside of us. That's why I want to deal with you every time I ever talk about what is in your heart. Where is your focus? Because if that is right, all the rest of the commandments are going to follow. But if our heart is not right toward God, we're going to get messed up. Even if we're trying to keep all these, because we can't keep all these.
Right.
We are not going to be perfect. But do we value his commandments? Do we value his ways? Do we value, esteem his thoughts? I remember when we were out on 92nd Street and God quickened to me. It was just like, wake up, word. And I believe it's Isaiah 55:8. He says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Shame on us. Shame on me. I want my thoughts to be his thoughts. I want my ways to be his ways. Right this second, I'm going to ask you to ask yourself, what is it? Now think about this. Brother Harvey, God puts Brother Harvey in your life. Mr. Intrusive. Okay?
Amen.
And he has you... has me ask you questions. You think I'm just sticking my nose in where it doesn't belong, but God put me here like somebody needs to get a clue. And God has me ask you questions or say things, and you can be fine, and then all of a sudden I touch something you don't want touched. You've already got your mind made up about something, but it's not God where you're living. And God has me stick my nose in there because God's trying to deliver you I'm speaking to at least two people in this room today. I'm sorry. I may be talking to you. God has me say stuff to you because there's areas in your life that are not redeemed. There's areas in your life that are not where God wants you to be. There's things that God wants to deliver you from. There's things that God wants to take you and answer your prayers, but you're holding on to things. You've got mindsets, belief systems. You've got it, whatever, and you won't let go. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, do you really want to come after him? The very first requirement is, let him deny himself. What does that mean? What do you think that means? Let him deny himself. I think it's amazing how concise Jesus' words are, but they're so powerful. Like you could preach a whole sermon on just like four words, let him deny himself. What do you think that means?
Not my will,
not my will, but thy will be done. Exactly. Let him deny himself. That means let him deny his fleshly inclination. Our hearts, the Bible says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. I was thinking last night or this morning of some stupid things I did as a kid. Just in passing. Not like I dwelled there or anything, but just a few stupid things I did as a kid that were just foolishness. Just foolish. Let him deny himself. Everybody on the planet, you've heard me say this, is either head-led or heart-led. Logic, reasoning, feeling, emotion. Romans 8:14. So then, they that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. I don't want to be led by my head. I don't want to be led by my spirit. That doesn't mean I throw my brain in gear. That doesn't mean God doesn't care what I feel. What it means is I'm not going to let them rule my life. I'm going to spend time in this word and find out what's important to God. What is God's way of how to deal with everyday life? Everyday life. Sometimes when I go to talk to people, they have some area of their life that they're guarding. And they stay in bondage in that area, and it affects their whole life. I don't know why, except they have not denied themselves. He says, if you love me, keep, guard, note, value what I say. My commandments. I'm saying them to you to help you. Let him deny himself. Let him take up his cross daily. What does that mean, take up his cross? Pick up a cross pen? Is that what it's talking about? What's a cross for? Is it a piece of jewelry in God's eyes? Is that what a cross is about? A piece of jewelry? We're supposed to wear a piece of jewelry, a little cross, on our neck or in our ear or in our eyebrow or something. Is that what we're supposed to do? Is that what this is about? Let him take up his... Do you know what a cross is? It's an instrument of death. That's what a cross is. Take up his cross daily. Die to our way. He first said, deny yourself. Now he's just saying simply, don't just deny what your flesh wants, what everybody else is saying. When it's deny yourself, the three enemies of God are, I can't hear you. What are the three enemies of God? That's good. That's good. No, no. Oh, you ought to, if you don't have this, we're going to do this. I'm going to do this so you have this memorized before we're done. Are you ready? Yeah. The three enemies of God, the world, the flesh, and the devil. The world, the flesh, and the devil. The world, the flesh, and the devil. If you don't know what the enemies are, how are you going to defeat them? The world, the flesh, and the devil. The world system, the fleshly desires, and Antichrist, the one who is against Christ, who opposes all that is God. The world. You don't hate the people. You hate the world system, the world's ways outside of God. The flesh. You don't, he's not telling you to beat yourself because you do wrong or, you know, whip yourself into shape. He's talking about do not feed, do not obey, do not yield to, do not give into the fleshly desires. Are you going to be, are you even right now, a disciple of Christ? Are you a disciple of Christ? Do you want to be a disciple of Jesus? Do you?
Yes.
Okay, so let's look at what he says. He says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Okay? Don't give in to the fleshly desires. Don't do what everybody else is doing. Take up your cross daily. Let's go a little further and let's die to our ways. It doesn't matter what I see, think, or want. Is that what I'm thinking? See, think, or want? Would you quit? No, boogerhead. What I think, what I feel, what I want. We all have that, don't we?
Yes.
What if you could live Jesus twice as much as you are right now? What if you could live Jesus twice as often as you do right now? Would you want that?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. He said to them all, this isn't for a few, this is for all. It's available. So he says, if you want to come after me, you want to be my disciple, deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and then follow me. Now watch. I'm in the living room, and I'm watching TV. I'm watching a Western. Like, how does it get better than that, right? Okay? Like, I'm almost in heaven, right? I'm being funny here, okay? Sue gets up to go start preparing for the meal. I have a thought. She's serving. She had to leave the movie. She had to get up from her chair. She has to go stand in there. What could I do to help her? I don't want to ask because she may tell me, you know. Can we be real?
Right.
I'm talking about what we go through on a daily basis. I'm using a practical example here. This is how we live. This is where we live. Sue, can I help you? No? Whew. Okay, back to the movie. No. It's just a little kid storm. It's a little kid storm. Okay. So watch this. Why don't I go out there and see what I could do? Could you see Jesus doing that? Or he'd be like, hey, she said I didn't have to do anything. Just let it go. That's just one little example. What would Jesus do? So when he says, and follow me, you have a thought. Do this for somebody. Help them. Encourage them. Give them a hug. Do something for them. Do something to make their life easier. I go out there and I put my dish in the sink and I run water in my mind. Okay? I know if you soak a dish and then you come back, it cleans real easy. In my wife's mind, Harvey runs water in a sink, in a bowl, and he forgets to come back and make it clean. So now she has to do it. So Sue doesn't like me doing that. Well, I'm still right. All it's got to do is soak a little bit and it'll clean up easier. And Jesus says, but are you living in this house by yourself? No. Then why are you living for yourself? Do you understand? Is anybody getting what I'm saying? It's just going, but it's denying self. It's dying to my way. I might be right, but relationship is more important than being right. Have you ever written that down? Relationship is more important than being right. Being right is all about pride. Being right is all about self. But I got it from God. It's still about self. It's all about if you're hurting relationship to be right. You're telling everybody else. You see what I'm saying? Okay. Let's read some verses. Discipleship requirements, Matthew 10:38-39. Jesus said, and he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life, found the way they want to live their life, they're going to lose it. But he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. I'm walking through a parking lot. I'm walking through the house. And I see bits of trash. Or I see something that needs to be taken out to the counter. I didn't do it. Why do I got to pick it up? But it comes to my mind to pick it up. Where do you think that came from? You think the devil wants me to pick that piece of trash up? You think the devil wants me to help somebody? You know, I'm walking, DBJ and I are walking into Myers, and I see somebody emptying their cart, and she just unloaded all her groceries, did all their shopping. You think she might be tired? I mean, how could they be tired? It's just shopping. How could that be? How could they be tired? I've done it. It's work. So I'm going by there and I say, could I take that for you? I'm walking in anyway. Why not take this cart? Have you ever had that thought? I'm not going to ask if you followed the thought, because you may have done it once or twice. But the principle, are we doing it? Are we living that way? See, we say we want to live Jesus, but we want to be your disciple, but yes, Lord, I phileo you, but I don't agape you. I love you like a brother, but I don't love you above everything, because I don't love you above my own comfort, and I don't love you above my own will. Matthew 16, 22 to 25. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord. Jesus had just told him that he was going to die by crucifixion. Far be it from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But Jesus turned and said unto Peter, his right-hand man, one who went up the Mount of Transfiguration with him, one who, if anybody ever talks about the disciples, the first disciple they always remember is Peter. And Peter, Jesus turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. You're thinking and acting just like Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. You're offending me. For thou savorest not, you value not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Would you like to find your life? Or you've already arrived? You got it? Do you like your life? Mark 8, 34 to 38. And when he, Jesus, had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, he said, do you really want to come after me? Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So you're going to deny your way. You're going to take up an instrument of death, knowing you're going to be put to death. Your life is going to be put to death. And then I want you to follow me. Walk like a duck. If you're a little baby duck, you walk like mama duck. Don't walk like a chicken. Don't be doing your little prancing. He said, walk like the mama duck. Follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever, do you want to save your life? Whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, and the gospel's death, burial, and resurrection, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world, but he lose his own soul? His soul is his mind, his will, and his emotions. You lose your mind, you lose your will, caught up in the wrong things. You lose your emotions. You become emotional. Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation of America, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Luke 9:23-26. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, do you want to come after him? Let that person deny himself. But I think, but I feel, but I want. You didn't deny yourself, did you? It's all about you. In your life right now, who's in your life right now? What is it's in your life right now? Think about it. Your everyday life. Denying yourself. Think through this last week. A situation. In dealing with somebody. Did you lose your life? Did you deny yourself? Good. Praise the Lord. You see, I know this is where your hearts are at. God's wanting to take us further. Because more is coming. And for us to reach other people, they need to experience Jesus. And we become the living epistle, the living letter of God. They have a whole bunch of bad letters out there that don't represent God too well. And when we don't represent him well, let's admit that quickly and publicly, if we've done it publicly. Somebody says, well, you're not a good Christian. You did that. You're right. I'm not. But I'm already forgiven, and I love Jesus. And I'm sorry. My desire is to be like him. I haven't arrived yet. Thank you for bringing that to my attention. Will you pray for me? I wonder how that would be, because I've done that with customers that are mad at me. You know, I wonder what that does inside of them. Normally, what they do is they.
Well, it stops.
It stops them right in their track.
Right.
I think of Romans 3:19, that every mouth may be stopped and everyone may become guilty in the sight of God. It's like all of a sudden their mouth just like took the wind right out of their sail. They're just like, oh. And it's like, but I'm not doing it to put them in their place. I'm doing it because I'm serious. That's what I'm saying. It's got to be the right heart, the right attitude. Not, I'm going to say these words pastor said, put you in your place, you know, stop your mouth. No, 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 no. I'm saying that's what the Holy Spirit does. Daily, exactly. And then he goes on to say, where were we in verse, where were we? I don't know. We'll start over. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Well, I'm trying to keep my life this way. Why don't we lose our life and let's do it his way? But whosoever will lose his life for Jesus' sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantage? He said, you're going to find your real life when you lose your life. Because you're going to find the life of Christ. And that's what you really want, is the life of Christ. So you have to lose your life, because you can't live both. Right this minute, would you ask God, God, would you deal in my heart and show me if there's any area in my thinking, any area in my life that I'm holding on to, that I'm not willing to listen. I'm not willing to let anybody else tell me different. Anything where I'm preventing you from living in that area of my life. Just commit it into his hands. Just, you said it, now give it to him and just say, Lord, if there is, bring it to my mind and help me to get rid of that. You want to say something? Or you just, okay, good. Give it to God and say, God, I'm giving it to you. Isn't that awesome? For what is a man advantaged if he gained the whole world? What if somebody just has all the money more than heart could wish? You know how we watch these movies and they always have all these rich people that have more than you can imagine. You know, they're multi-millionaires, billionaires, whatever they are. I love what Sue was talking about at the ladies' meeting last Tuesday, because I've heard about it since then, and I've shared it since then with other people because I like the thought. She said, God made us in his image, and God is not selfish. God is others-minded. So whenever somebody is selfish, they're going to be miserable. Whenever they're self-focused, they're going to be miserable because he didn't make them to be that. And therefore, they're going to be miserable. But when you lose your life and you give your life for another, when you were others-minded, when you lay down your rights, what rights do we have anyway? When you lay down your rights, your will, your wants, you'll find yourself being full of joy and peace when you're others-minded. But don't just go out and try to be others-minded. Keep your focus on him, and if he wants you, he'll direct you, this person, right now. Then you'll be on the cutting edge of what he's doing. Don't go out and just try to, I'm going to build a hospital. You know, I'm going to go out and serve in a food pantry. If God wants you to, yes, do that. But let it be God telling you. Don't just go try to do these things. Don't just go try to be a servant to everybody, but be willing to have a servant's heart. Correct. For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him, I'm doing this so it'll quit making noise, okay? Thank you. You're welcome. Okay. Now, for whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed. I believe there's people that's going to go to heaven, but they're going to find that Jesus was ashamed. You know what I'm saying? Have you ever thought about why there are tears in heaven? When it says God shall wipe away all tears, that means there had to be tears there. I think when people come face to face and realize how they were self-willed, how they were selfish, how they did not witness to somebody because of their own reputation or saving face. You know what I'm saying? Because they would be embarrassed in a crowd or in a room. And they let somebody go to hell. A lady just told Sue that she was in a church service. They had a special speaker. And the man was prophesying over people at the end, I guess. And he said to this man, and the whole time in the service, she kept thinking, he needs to put his house in order. He's getting ready to die. And this man prophesied over him and said, God's going to do all these things with you, and just, you know, flattery and bless me club religion and all this other stuff. And she was grieved in her spirit. But she knew the man personally, and she did not go and tell him, and 2 weeks later he went to meet his maker. And she feels so bad because God entrusted her with something. She needed to ask God, what do I do with it? Instead, she just wasn't going to say anything because he was saying stuff, but I'm not this and blah, blah. Why did God tell you then? Your faith, you are, what's the word? Responsible with whatever God gives you. You can go and say, I don't know why, but I keep feeling like God's telling me that you need to put, before he ever prophesied over you or anything, brother, my brother that I've known for 20 years, I feel like God's saying, you need to put your house in order. Now, I could be wrong, but I'm telling you what I feel like God's saying. You don't need to go up there and, thus saith the Lord, and do, you don't got to do all that stuff. When I hear people doing that, I often think, are you trying to convince them? Are you trying to persuade them? There's times that God has us say that, but we don't need to start yelling and proclaiming that as a rule. All you have to do is just say it. God, how do you want me to say it? When do you want me to say it? What do you want me to do with this? I want you to say it. There's a reason I gave it to you. When, how, where? Ask him questions. Have we not talked about that?
Yes.
I don't want Jesus to be ashamed of me. I want to honor him. Luke 14, 26 and 27. Uh-oh. Be careful about listening to this one. If any man come to me, Jesus says, and hate not his father and his mother that lives down south, and wife and children and brethren, and sisters, yea, and doesn't hate his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. What does that mean if it doesn't mean what it says? What does it mean? He said he cannot be my disciple. That word hate, it doesn't mean that you hate them like we use the word hate. It means you don't value them above him. Like this, Sue and I have said to each other through the years, I love you with all my heart, but you're my second best friend. We've both said this to each other through the years. It's not like we say it every day. Here, let's go through the routine again and say this, you know. But we've said this. You are my second best friend. Jesus is by far my best friend. And then way down the list, you're my second best friend. And nobody even, and then there's way down the list before I have a third best friend. You understand? Like I say to people all the time, my wife is my favorite person on the planet. And I mean it by far. I love God. I remember Bing Crosby and Danny Kaye, and these two women, and I don't know their names, back in the 40s, it's called something like Christmas, White Christmas. Lord help the sister that comes between me and my mister, and Lord help the mister comes between me. No, Lord help the sister comes between me and my man. All right? I can see them up there singing and dancing around. And that's how it is with me and God. I love him more than anything. I don't want anything to even come anywhere near touching or compromising that love affair. That value. I value him. I esteem him more highly than anything. I want him more than my life. I want him, remember you've heard me say, we want you more than our next 100 breaths. I mean it. When you look at the Ten Commandments,
when he talks about, which is Exodus chapter 20, okay, start from verse 1, and he gives the Ten Commandments. When you look at the Ten Commandments, he says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. And basically, in the other, he says, I'm a jealous God. And don't pay anything greater than him is. He said, don't even think about it. This is what's most important, is to love God.
Maybe God is wanting us to search our hearts. See, I want to talk about love's a two-way street. God says, we got to keep doing all these
little stepping stones to get to that.
This whole thing is, what does love look like? This has been going on for months. So let me ask you a question.
Do you love God?
No. Sorry. Does God love you?
Yes.
Does God love you?
Yes. Sir. What about when you can't find him because you don't understand what's going on in the darkness of your life? Does God love you?
Yes.
I'm asking. Does he quite love you?
No.
Can you trust him?
Yes.
When can you trust him?
Always.
What about when you can't find him?
Always.
What about when you're just not going away?
Always.
What about when you're in pain and praying for the pain to go away and it doesn't go away?
Still.
What about when hurry messes with you and, you know, he gets in the flesh, hurry gets it. That's why. Oh, this must be a lesson. How forgive? How forgive?
Okay. You know what I mean?
But if we look at it like that,
God loves you. Do you know how much he loves you? Do you know how
intricately he loves you? Do you know how deeply he cares about you? Do you know how much he, John, this must be about Steve this week. I said, this guy got known since 93, or maybe I knew before, but anyway, 93. And I said, helped him to meet Jesus. And then I said, one time, preaching or teaching in a month, Psalm 139, 17 and 18. And I said, Steve, when I told him that, memorized it.
Because I said, his thoughts toward us are more than the sand of the sea. Now, I dare you, when you leave this service day, go find some sand somewhere. And pick up a handful and do me a favor. Count it. Count the grains. Just in one handful. And if that's impossible, his thoughts toward you are more than the sand of the sea. And that's got to be at least three handfuls, right? Okay? You know what I mean? He thinks about you all the time.
He cares about you. He knows everything. He has a plan. Right now, for whatever you're in, or whatever it is you're going to go in, or whoever it is comes into your house, okay?
Or whoever just left your house. He has a plan. He knows. He cares. He is the answer you're looking for. In your finances, in your relationship with your mate or your kids or whoever, he is the answer you're looking for. He is everything. His name is Jesus Christ. He is not generic God. He is Jesus Christ. Jesus, the anointed one, the Messiah. The doorway to God, the door to God. The only one. The only Savior. There is no other. He said, I know not any. He said, there ain't nobody else. If you read Jeremiah and you read Ezekiel, I'm talking about the whole book. So you're not going to, okay. He said, but I do. Why would you leave me for that? Why would you worship anything that's not real? And whosoever doth not bear his cross, what cross does God have in your life? What instrument of death? I'm going to a prayer meeting every Wednesday with other pastors. And in a sense, that is a cross that's in my life right now. Because it's killing me. I love them. I want to go. I'm blessed by it. But God is using that prayer meeting and it's killing my flesh. It's killing my ways. It's killing my thinking. It's making me have to reevaluate how I interact with other ministers. It is killing me. Do I want Jesus? Because see, I've thought about, I don't have to go to this meeting. Every week it's like going back here, nail me back up to the cross. The wounds are just beginning to heal, but no. Nail me back up to the cross. Because that's what it is. And maybe you have that at work. Maybe you have that with somebody in your life. I've had that with bosses. I've had that with other co-workers. Where it's like, I don't want to go. I'm tired of having to re-enter into that relationship. And it's like, that's horrible to be around. But whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me, come to be just like me, come to find out my way of how to deal with things, he cannot be my disciple. Jesus has some kind of strict things. John 8, 31 and 32. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But the only way the truth makes you free is if you continue in his word. It's living that out. John 12, 25 to 26. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. What would Jesus do? And where I am, there shall also my servant be. There he is about that intimate relationship again. And where I am, there also shall my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. I hope you memorize that little phrase. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. God will honor you when you serve Christ. Father God will honor you. I don't know what's better than that. Romans 8:13. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. That's not a good death. But if ye through the Spirit, led by the Spirit, do mortify or put to death the deeds of the body, ye shall live. If ye live after the flesh, or ye live to please your flesh, you're going to die, and it's not going to be a good thing. But if ye through the Spirit, led by the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. What would Jesus do? How would Jesus? See, this waiting thing, a pastor and I met this week, and he said, Harvey, you keep talking about waiting. What does waiting look like? And I said, well, you're getting ready to go have a meeting. So I said, Lord, what do I say? Because that's how to wait. You draw back and ask God instead of just saying the first thing when you're... See, I had all these things I could say. Don't we do that? But God, and guess what? God's not mad or angry or nothing. He's just trying to teach us. And it's a long-term thing. He's not mad. It's just like, I'm going to keep doing it till you get it for the rest of your life. More and more like me, more and more like me, more and more like me. So I said, well, when you and I quit talking, I said, you're going to go have a meeting with a lady. And he goes, yeah. I said, when the lady starts talking, you're going to want to say things because things are going to come to your mind, things you already know, things you think you know through your experience or your understanding. I said, and God may want you to say them, but to wait on God is to draw back into God and say, God, what do you want me to say? Not do you want me to say this, but what do you want me to say? When do you want me to say it? How do you want me to say it? Or do you want me to just be quiet? What do you want to do here, Lord? First Corinthians chapter 15. Verses 30 through 31. And why do we stand in jeopardy every hour? Why do we undergo peril and danger and face it every hour of our lives? He said, I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die daily. I die daily. It's amazing. Colossians 3:5. Mortify, put to death therefore your members which are upon the earth. That doesn't mean I'm supposed to kill you as members of our church. What it means is the members of our body, not this body, our body, die to flesh, the fleshly inclination. To put people in their place, to be smart mouth, to straighten them out, to do to them what they, you know, it doesn't say do unto others the way they do unto you. It says do unto others the way you want done unto you. Not the way they do. Right. Die to the carnal nature. Mortify therefore, put to death therefore, your members which are upon the earth. And then he lists up fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection. What's that? Concupiscence, lust, a passion, especially for what's forbidden. Evil concupiscence, what is that? Longing, a desire, especially for what's forbidden. Desire, lust. After things, strong desire for something, covetousness, wanting what somebody else has, which is idolatry. 2 Timothy 3:12. Yea, I want to live like God. Yea, and all that will live godly, live like God in Christ Jesus, shall suffer persecution. We've got a list over here. Would you like to sign up for persecution? Who wants to be first on the list? You see, it says, yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus. See, we want to say we took a stand for God, but we want to soft soap it. We want to water it down. We want to say we did, but not really say what God wanted us to say or do. Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus. Our brother was telling us about Southern Law, Southern Poverty Law Association. They're like the ACLU or all these other antichrist, or being a Democrat to me, that's antichrist. Okay? Not trying to hurt people. It's what their platform, what they say, their the whole Democratic things that they say they believe. To me, it's all antichrist. Everything I've ever heard or read on there was antichrist. And what I see them doing and practicing is so venomous and antichrist. And the brother brings up Southern Poverty Law Association, whatever they're called, something like that. That's just another tool of the devil. But you know what? I'm not going to live by the fear of man and worry about that. We need to pray. We need to do what we can. But we need to realize they're going to keep doing this because the majority of the world does not know God. And now they've made it. Didn't it say years ago when I read it said there will come a time when they call evil good and good evil? I thought, I can't even imagine that, because they weren't doing that. And now it's gotten to where it's so flagrant. Evil is good and good is evil. So because we say we're following the Bible and it has absolutes, people don't want to hear that because they want to do whatever they want to do. If it feels good, do it. And I don't want anybody telling me what's, well, I don't believe like you, but I give you the right to believe error and go to hell. No, I'm going to love you enough to tell you the truth, whether you like it or not. I'm going to stand for truth. I told y'all this years ago, I'm sure, but a pastor brother that I know, he's actually an apostle. He didn't know it. But he started a lot of ministries that he oversaw. His name is Lester Roloff. I don't know if you've ever heard of him, but he was a hero of mine. And, matter of fact, one of my daughters, we put in one of his homes 2 different years. 1 year, we put her there. And then a few years later, she said, Dad, could I go back because I need their help again? And it was, and it's just about surrendering your life to God and putting your life in God's hands and all of that. And somebody asked him one time, why is it that you always seem to be in trouble and opposing all these other people and butting heads with people? And he said, because they're all going the wrong way. He said, I'm standing for God, and all these people are opposing God, so of course there's going to be friction. And we're going to, if your goal is to be popular, and your goal is for everybody to like you, you're going to be sadly disappointed, because you cannot follow Christ and do that. You can think you're following Christ because there's people that do think they're following Christ, but they compromise Christ Jesus all the time because they care more what people think than what God thinks. It doesn't mean that you go around trying to be oppositional. I'm not saying that. Don't develop an oppositional disorder. Don't think you're godly because people argue with you or resist you. You just might be a knucklehead. You need to ask God to deal with you, because that was Harvey. I was self-righteous. I memorized all these verses and stuff, and I just became self-righteous, and I caused a lot of my problems. Because, bless God, I'm going to tell you the truth whether you like it or not. And it wasn't led of the Spirit. It was Harvey trying to straighten everybody out. Remember I've told you how you can know if it's God? If you want to tell somebody something, that's probably your flesh. You can bank on it. or devilish. If you don't want to tell somebody something, I don't want to tell you this, Mom, but I really feel like I'm supposed to, but I don't want to. And God's like, that's because it's me, Roxanne. And he says, that's how you can move in peace, because you don't want to say it because you know the repercussions or the possible repercussions, results of being true to truth. But I'm going to say it because I love you, because I don't have peace not to say it. But I don't want to say it. That's God. We want to live in the spirit of humility. We want to share Jesus with people. I see stuff all the time. I went walk yesterday. Sue did something, whatever, and her legs were hurting, and she needed to go to the grocery store. But her legs were hurting. So I prayed for her legs, I think. Anyway, I normally do. And then I said, why don't you give me a list and I'll go? She goes, hurry, I'm afraid to send you to the store because I want what I want, but I didn't just speak. I said, then tell me exactly what you want, I'll get what you want, I'm home, because I can't help it. When I go there, there's a deal. She goes, you got to keep bringing me back stuff. It didn't make me better deal, but there's a reason. And I didn't like it. You know, like the bacon, like nothing but fat. You know, because that's what she always brings up, is the bacon. Because I got these deals. But the whole thing was fat, and if you cook it, you get it like a string, you know what I mean? There's no nothing left. Well, I thought it was a deal. It looked like a deal. It was a big old amount. This amount, my God. It's a deal. It was just a bunch of fat. Really good.
Pen refills, yes. Okay.
I've done a lot of dumb things, you know, I'm saving some money, but you get what you pay for. Anyway. So I said, okay, I'll go to the store for you. How about that? Well, I hadn't talked her into it, you know. I mean, I repented right at the beginning, but she still didn't want me to do it just because she didn't want me to have to go do it for her because she sees it as something she should do. And I said, look, I don't mind. We'll do it, you know. So I go to Myers. I saw so many things in people when I was there. Were they true? Yes. Could I have gone and said some truth to them or something? Yes. Was it God? No. Because I asked God. He goes, no. That one isn't ready to hear. This is not me telling you this. You can see all these things. You can hear all these things. That doesn't mean you have to go and say something, you know? Okay? Now, some of y'all, you may not have to deal with it. I'm just telling you where I'm at. Okay? Okay? So, what I'm saying is, do we want to live Jesus? Or do we just want to, do we want to have His praise?
Yes.
Do we want Him to be satisfied? Happy? And, because when He is, we live in His presence. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Doesn't mean you go try. Doesn't mean you become a martyr. Oh, you're picking on me because I'm a Christian. I'm sorry. Let me find a room where you and self-pity can hang out. I don't want you in my presence, please. Okay? I don't need that syrupy, stupid. That is not Christ. I'm saying you got to be aware. We're going to go through this, but we're going to go through it with Him. He's going to carry us through it when it's Him. But be aware what your choice means. Titus 2:12. Teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly or godlike in this present world. If you love me, keep my commandments. Our love for Jesus is seen in the way we value his commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. Now, if you read verses 21, 23, and 24, you're going to find promises from God for those that really love him or those who don't love him. And I don't know how it gets better than that, than getting pure God personally. I don't need generic God out here. I need God right here. How about you? We need to settle some things. We need to make some decisions. We need to settle some things. We need to settle them in our heart. What if I was taken out of the picture? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do with God? That's it. So, you know the principle, smite the shepherd and the sheep will scatter? I want every one of you to be a shepherd. So if they smite this shepherd, another shepherd's going to stand up. I'm trying to make every one of you, that's my goal, is to develop Christ in every one of you so you will stand, so that if you are, they take you to a guillotine, or they take you to hang you, or they take you and put you in jail, or they have the news media come in and say stuff, that you are going to stand for Jesus. That you are going to give a good testimony of the Lord. That when you are dealing with your mom, or you're dealing with your kids, or you're dealing with your husband, or whoever, or you're dealing with people at work, or you, that you are going to own Jesus. You're not going to be like others have said to me, "Well, you need to go talk to my pastor." Why? Don't you have Jesus? Why do I need to go talk to him? God didn't bring me in his life. God brought me in your life. See what I'm saying? Every one of us, be ready always to give an answer of the reason of the hope that lieth within you. Mom, everything's going to be okay. It is. She doesn't know God. You know God. You're there to help be like Jesus and get her to God. You're praying for her. It's already a done deal, Mom. How do you know? Because I prayed and I got peace with God. It's already done. But I don't know that. I know. But God has me in your life to let you know he knows that. You see what I'm saying? It's living Jesus practically. Is that what we've talked about all these years that we've known each other, Steve? That is what I care about. Is you living Jesus. You fulfilling. Hey, I'm challenging you on something. God, is there something? Is there something, are you asking God, is there something you want me to do? Is there something you want me to do at Burning Bush? Is there something you want me to do through Burning Bush? Is there a way you want to grow Burning Bush through me? Ask God. Everyone here is important. Everyone here has a reason and a purpose. Okay? Yesterday we were talking with somebody, Brother John, you know, Big John comes, Pastor John. And we're gonna, maybe some of y'all are gonna end up going with him as he ministers. Maybe some of y'all are gonna end up going, because I'm thinking, well, I already know because God told me years ago, but the way God's leading, I don't know if it's going to happen sooner, but it's going to happen sooner than later, that Nate and Leida are going to start something in Ionia. God's going to do something with them. Maybe God wants you going there with them. Maybe God has something else. Maybe there's something you're supposed to be doing here. I don't know. I'm willing to step out of the way anytime. Do you understand? Right. But I'm saying, God is preparing us for something. It's not just sitting. Amen. You know what I'm saying? There's something. Maybe there's just somebody you're supposed to be discipling. Maybe there's things he's dealing in you about. Maybe he's just getting you ready for what's coming. Maybe you're not supposed to be doing anything right this minute, but just preparing. And that's fine. But you ask him. You ask him. If you are discontent, he's probably got something he's wanting you to do. And you need to be busy doing it. And you may share it with others. You may come to me and say, I think we ought to be doing this. I'm going to tell you, probably, I'm going to probably say, then you need to do that. How can I help you? Because God called you to do it, what God's called me to do is release you. Not necessarily I'm supposed to do everything you're called to do. I'm called to do what I'm called to do. You know what I'm saying? Everybody's not going to see what you see. Something he's taught me is as an apostle, I have this overview, but the people that, like, let's say do Sunday school, like we had all, a couple hundred, 300 people, or when we had more people, there was people that came to us, and we ought to do this. That's what they can see. They're like focused. Everything is, because that's all they can see. But I'm seeing the whole thing, because I have two or three others that are coming to me. We ought to be doing this in worship, and people ought to be, and we ought to be doing this over here with a resale shop. It's like, I can see all of it, but each one that comes to me, they can only see their point, their portion. You understand? So I'm supposed to guide, equip, and then release. It doesn't mean I'm supposed to go do everything that you do. I'm willing if that's what God wants. But you need to ask God individually. You know him, right?
Yep.
You know how to talk to him, right?
Yeah.
You know that he wants to hear from you? You know he's been waiting? Okay. All right. This is cool. All right, I'm just messing with you. All right. So we're going to end this like this. We commit this into your hands, everything that was said, and you deal in our hearts. And we just thank you for your word, and thank you. You are worthy. I don't know anything worth laying my life down for like you, Jesus. I don't want my life. I want your life. Teach me how to live your life. Thank you, Jesus. We commit this into your hands. Don't quit dealing with us. Keep dealing with us. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.